I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God.
Yeah.
All my life you have been faithful.
Yeah.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after me.
Yes, Lord.
Your goodness is running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me.
Oh yes, you're good.
Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. With my life laid down and surrendered now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. All my life you have been faithful.
Yeah.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful.
Father God, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing,
yeah,
of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Sing it today.
Thank you, Lord.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me.
Oh, Jesus.
place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love.
So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love.
No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, here in your love, here in your love. No place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, no place I would rather be, here in your love, here in your love.
Set a fire
down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Treasure of my heart and of my soul.
Jesus.
In my weakness, you are merciful. Redeemer of my past and present wrong. Holder of my future days to come. Your presence is heaven
to me.
To me.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Your presence.
Your presence.
Is heaven, heaven to me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty, endless word. For nothing in this world can ever satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Your presence is heaven to me.
Your presence, oh God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
Want more of you.
I want more.
I want more of you.
Set a fire down in my soul.
Oh yes, God.
That I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God. Hallelujah.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you.
I want more of you.
I want more.
Yes, God, I want more. Hallelujah. 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 I want more of you, God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, set a fire.
Yeah.
Set a fire. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul. I want more of you, God. I want more.
Set a fire.
Of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul.
Yes.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I want more of you, God. I want more.
Hallelujah.
Of you, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Lord, let that be our prayer. Lord, that, let that be the heart's desire, the cry of our heart, Lord, to set a fire.
Yes.
God, we recognize so often that we are so cold and far away. And God, we realize that the best place for us is in the fire of God. Yet we sometimes continue to walk in the coldness of this life. God, set a fire. Set a fire. Let it burn, let it burn, let it burn, Lord, in our hearts. That all we want is you. That all we want is you, Lord. Nothing else, nothing else. Nothing else, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God.
Let that be our prayer this morning. Oh, yes, God. Hallelujah. I want more of you. I want more of you, God. Hallelujah.
I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Set a fire
down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you.
I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more
of you,
yes, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
Yes, yes, yes.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God.
I want more. I want more of you, God.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
I want more of you, God. Spirit of God, Spirit of God, I want more of you. I want more of you. Set us ablaze, oh God. Set us ablaze. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Hearing your love.
Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Worship you. Worship you. Worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. God, just allow the freedom to rule and reign in this place at this moment. God, whatever we need to do in you to worship you, Lord, let us feel free. Let us feel free, Lord. Let there be a freedom here today, Lord. God, no restrictions, no inhibitions. Lord God, we just want to be ourselves in your presence, Lord. God, so often we want to be somebody else or something else, Lord, but God, let us just be free here today to worship you, to worship you, to praise you. Hallelujah. God, it feels so good to get a release of the Holy Spirit. God, we need these times. We need these times of refreshing. We need these times, oh God, where we just draw close to you. Lord, the people go to psychiatrists and counselors galore. But God, in your presence, Lord, we just seek your counsel, your goodness, your grace, your might, your power, your mercy. God, all those things that come from the hand of God, Lord, we sense them, we feel them, Lord. And in your presence, Lord, we just feel the giftings, the praises of our Heavenly Father upon our life. So God, we want to please you, because without faith, it's impossible to please you. We want to please you, Lord. We're just lifting up our faith. We're encouraging our faith this morning, Lord. We're strengthening our faith in you, Lord. Thank you, God. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails
me. Hallelujah.
All my days I've been held in your hands.
From the moment, from the moment.
I wake up.
Yes.
Till I lay my head.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yeah.
All my life you have been faithful.
Thank you, God.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
I will sing
of the goodness of God.
I love your voice.
Yes, God.
You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father.
I've known you as a friend.
Goodness of God.
All my life you have been faithful.
Yes, Lord.
All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able,
yeah.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness. Of the goodness of God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you blessed today? Amen. Praise God. So good to be in the house of the Lord. We got a lot of people away today. It's March break from the school system. Slippery roads outside. Is it snowing? It is. I don't want to look. No, I wanted to get your assurance of that fact. Hallelujah. Amen. Why on Sundays? I can never figure that out. No. Praise God. Kids can head off to Sunday school. Hallelujah. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. No, I'm not hungry, Paul. Oh, okay. I thought he was bringing me a treat. Hallelujah. Yes. God is so, so good. Amen. Welcome to church, and welcome, Holy Spirit, into this very place. Amen. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Spirit today. We are talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, And we are going to venture into just a little crack of the first gift here this morning. As I heard that many people were going to be away today, and I saw during the course of the week that we could have a dangerous outcome outside of what we're seeing, I knew that some people would not venture out, and I felt that we would hold off on really getting deep into this first gift, but we will still give you something of a nugget to take home, amen? Are you hungry for God? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I love this chapter, so I want to go back to verse 1, and I'm going to read from verse 1 up until verse 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Hallelujah. Father, bless your word to our heart. Spirit of God, go ahead and do whatever you need to do with us today. We're in your hands. And we thank you, Lord, because that's a good place to be, in your hands. So we thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have introduced this subject over the last couple of months from the first seven verses, and I trust that something has dropped into our hearts, which has encouraged us to go deeper in God. I think that every time we come to the church, we should have a desire. I want to go deeper. I want to go deeper. Not happy with where I am. I'm happy in a sense that, yeah, I've got what I've got in God, but there's more to be had. And so we want more of God, and we want to go deeper in God. And so our prayer really should be that every time we gather together, whether it's Sunday morning or Wednesday night, or ladies on Wednesday morning, or a prayer meeting on Friday night, we should desire a new glimpse or a fresh glimpse of Holy Spirit in a way that would open the door and open it wider for each of us to get the giftings of the Holy Spirit. I think that we've got our not only a hand on the tap, but we've got our hand sometimes on the doorknob and say, no, no, and we're holding it back from the Holy Spirit, and we're just trying to keep the way that we like to do things in our life. You understand what I mean? So here we are in this new year, in the month of March. Another week and a half will be the first day of spring, although you wouldn't know it. But here we are 2 months into this subject of the Holy Spirit, the giftings. And I hope that it's going to take us to where we need to be. We need to be ready for whatever is coming from the Lord for Cornwall Pentecostal Church. That is every one of us, for what God is going to do in and through this church. So are you excited about the future? I really get excited every time I see the news all around us, what's happening in the world, and if you're watching the news in India and Pakistan, and there's some real divergence going on there, and some bitterness being held up, and hopefully it doesn't break out into an all-out war of anything over there. But we see that all around the world, there's no peace. There's just a desire to, get from somebody else or kill somebody else or get what they can get. And so as I look at the world, I'm excited about the future. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. The world is at unrest, but the church is at peace. Peace that passes all understanding. That's where we get our peace from God. We get it with God. So I remind us this morning that this is nothing that you and I can deal with in the flesh, in the natural, that we're dealing with the Holy Spirit, but it must be felt or understood, and spurts of growth for us must come from the supernatural by the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm really enjoying Wednesday night the Bible study when we're dealing with the book of Acts and just on the day of Pentecost, and it's kind of like that's a nice place to be as we study. But you cannot explain Pentecost in the natural. You cannot, you know, even as we heard the other night, they were all, these guys must be drunk. You know, it's, they're wild, they're weird. I mean, all the thoughts are going through our mind. You cannot explain Pentecost through the natural. You can't address it anyway in the flesh. You cannot explain any of the works of Holy Spirit in the natural. You cannot be open to any experience in the Holy Spirit by only walking in the natural. We have to desire to get into the spiritual realm, and I believe that when we get to that place of desiring to walk in the Holy Spirit, then things will begin to open up to us. You cannot go any further into these next few verses on gifts of the Holy Spirit by the flesh, by the natural, by anything other than Holy Spirit in His leading. If you notice in these verses of Scripture, it is by the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit that imparts and gives and shows us and gives us an understanding, and He shows us the way. Holy Spirit leads us, and we must be open to His leading. Amen? I was reading my Bible about the nation of Israel. You know, and even though we place the emphasis in the New Testament specifically from the day of Pentecost on down, the Holy Spirit was moving in the Old Testament very powerfully. Even though it's not in the same context of individuals receiving this baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you go back to the tabernacle, people were moved on to be able to do the giftings, the craftings of the tabernacle. And so God allowed them in that moment to have the Holy Spirit so they could do great things for Him. And as I was reading about this nation of Israel, they're really a neat bunch when you look back at it, because it's not really too far off from the church today. Amen? I often wonder sometimes maybe the church should be wandering around the wilderness for 40 years too before we ever dare get to that promised land. But you know, as they were embarking through the wilderness and they came to the edge of the promised land, and so Moses stood there and said, look, you know, that's the land God promised. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And so Moses said, you know, I want to take all the 12 tribes, take one from every tribe, and I want to send you out as spies into that promised land, come back and kind of give us the details of how we do it and all those kinds of things and what the land looks like. And so if you were to recall from the Old Testament, the spies were sent out from all those 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. But it's the details that happened when they returned to Moses. Of those 12 spies, you remember the story, I'm sure, 10 spies gave a bad report, says the Bible, and that they were not able to go any further, even though God had promised them that land. Their summation and their calculation was, we cannot go any further than where we are. They're too big. They're walled cities. They're fortresses. They're humongous over there. There's no way that we could ever take them on. So they stood there and pronounced it, 10 spies giving this bad report that they would not be able to go any further, even though God had spoken to them that they would possess this land. God told them they would defeat their enemy armies. They would not have any difficulties walking with God to this promised land. I will give it to you. It's yours. I promised it. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, these 10 spies with the bad report went against God's word. Ever heard that? Like in the beginning? When we go against God's word, we won't make it. I was reading further that they kind of felt bad for themselves and said, oh, okay, we're wrong. Let's go for it. My bad. They were probably saying back in those days in our vernacular, my bad. Let's go for it. And Moses said, hey, no. Don't go now or you'll be defeated. And they tried it, and the armies ran them off. And as I looked at this, you know, 10 spies giving a bad report. But then 2 spies stepped up by the name of Joshua and Caleb, even though they saw the same walled cities, even though these two saw the men that were huge over there, taller than all of them. They saw all the walled fortresses. They saw all the difficulties before them. But they had the word of God in their hearts. It doesn't matter how big it is. Doesn't matter how fortress the places are out there. Doesn't matter. Because if God gives you the word, you can go and conquer what God tells you to conquer. Amen? No difficulties, because when God says it to you, it's yours. Amen? So 10 spies went by. Let me get my cell phone out here and calculate this. Calculation. No, Moses. It won't go. It won't fly. They were going by calculation. Did you know that a born-again saint of God, we cannot go by calculation. We go by faith. We go by faith. We cannot sit down and say, well, it just, on paper, it won't match up. But we don't go by paper. We go by the word of God. Amen? I mean, can you imagine these 12 spies? I looked at this story, and sometimes the stories in the Bible really get to you at times. They just kind of, wow, this is amazing. And I looked at this, and I started imagining these 12 spies going out and returning, and 10 of them, the majority, sat down and gave the bad report. It's not always like that. Sometimes majority, I don't think we can do that. The majority said, and then I started thinking about where we are with the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. You hear all the teaching. You hear all the people saying, well, it was just for the early New Testament church, and there's some big names out there that say Pentecost isn't for today, that there's no healings today. It was for back then. It was for the apostles. It died off. God put it all aside. And so you hear all this negativity. You hear all the bad report. So what are you going to believe? I choose to believe the word of God. We need to fight the lies and the flesh and all that is going on negatively against the truth of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here we are looking at a promised land, so to speak. I mean, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, everything is open up for us. God has got a future for us. He's got plans. He's got everything in place for Cornwall Pentecostal Church. And I want to go to that place. I want to go to the land flowing with milk and honey that God has promised us. He's taking us somewhere. And so I want to be there. I don't want to listen to all the bad stuff out there. I don't want to hear all the negativity. I don't want to hear that you can't do this and you can't go there. You can't have that, or you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't do that. I want to hear, you can. God opened the way. He's leading the way. So we're looking at this promised land, and this may be an area that you have never ventured into with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but don't shy away from it. Amen? Maybe this is something you have stayed away from in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe it's something that intrigued you, but you kept your distance. You were hearing other things, hearing other teachings. Maybe it's something that years ago, as I said last week, you know, maybe you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but you just kind of shied away from it. You died away from it. You just walked away. And as I said last week, if you don't use it, you could lose it. A gift is a gift is a gift is a gift from God, and it's to be used. God said, you will conquer. That's a gift from Him. When you go into that place, I will give you. That's a gift from Him. God says, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit not many days from now. That's a gift from Him. That's a promise of the Father that He will give the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a gift. I kind of like these gifts as you go through the pages of Scripture. I don't want to write them off because somebody said it's not for today. I go through, and this is a gift that God is giving to the church, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And God offers us 9 specific gifts here that will be a blessing to us and through us. And we can either say, it's too hard to go there. Oh, it's too big. It's too walled off. It sounds like something I could never get a hold of. And we could get into all those ideas in our heart and our mind, and we could sit here all day long and believe the bad reports. But again, if we believe that, we will not enter the promised land of the giftings of the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Natural means, we will enter the promised land only by the faith of God that we have in the Spirit. So to enter into this realm of spiritual gifts, we must lay aside all our natural thinking and begin to walk by faith. Others have done it before us, so don't think that you're the first. Churches have been birthed and grown in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and have been blessed. Others in our church have done it, so don't think that it's not for today, because we've got examples all around us. Amen? So watch the example. They are examples to us. You know, this is all not pie in the sky kind of stuff. This was for the New Testament church. These gifts are available today. And we will see that they are to our advantage to get a foothold into something that will help us to conquer things in our life. This baptism in the Holy Spirit is one of the most misunderstood subjects of the Bible. As I said a few weeks ago, many satisfy their theological curiosity. And so in that bashfulness about this or just a fear of going into the unknown, many have taken steps to ensure that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is kept at a safe distance. And all the giftings of the Holy Spirit are kept at a safe distance, so it's not for today. They conveniently say that these gifts were not for today. They were for the New Testament church. So really, when you think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are in a subject that much of the Christian world is divided over and just in fear over. And it's this very reason every Christian should search the Scriptures and have an open mind as you come to the Scriptures. Be open, even though you've heard something. You know, just like those 10 spies, they gave the bad report. I wonder how it affected the hearts of other people around them. They said, we can't do it. They said. Can you imagine how that would spread? And how many know that this day is a day and age, is every day and age of gossip? And if we hear a bad report, sometimes we take clued on bad reports. Betty and I often look at the news on TV. We say, how come it's all bad? You know, when you look at news, like, why don't they give good stuff? Yeah, and that's what I was telling her the other day. That's why I watch Fox News at time, because they bring on a lot of good stuff in there about even Christian principles and all that. So we can stay away or we can come close to God. All up to each and every one of us. I want to get real close. Every day of my life, I want to get real close to God. Amen? You know, Wednesday night, Pierre gave us the position of the PAOC in our statement of fundamental and essential truths. And you can find this anywhere on the PAOC.org if you wanted to go there and see them. But I wanted to put it up this morning because not enough people saw this. And I wanted to put it up this morning because this is, we're the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. We are a fellowship of churches. We are not a denomination. You know, like other churches out there, the United Church of Canada is a denomination. The Anglican Church is a denomination. We are not a denomination. We are a fellowship of churches. The reason why we all come together in the fellowship is to be a strong, powerful source, sending out missionaries, getting things going in our country of Canada, reaching up to the Inuit area, and all these things that by one church here, if we tried to do all those things, we would not be able to do it. But, you know, tie in all of our 2,000-plus churches all across Canada, and we've got a great power source going on. But this is the doctrinal stand that the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada has taken, and this is what we behold is our doctrinal stand when you come to the book of Acts and where we stand with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, people before us put this down on paper so that you and I would understand in 2019, just in case people were confused or wondered where we stood or anything that they wanted to know about the source of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So we have this. You can go on paoc.org and look up what we believe, and you will find this as part of it. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an experience in which believers yield control of themselves to the Holy Spirit. And now those numbers there are scripture references down below if you need to look those up. Through this, the believer comes to know Christ in a more intimate way. For anyone who is baptized in the Holy Spirit, you understand that that's true. You just seem to get, wow, I hadn't sensed that before. And all of a sudden you stepped into a realm that's even takes you to a deeper intimacy with God. And receives power to witness and grow spiritually. Believers should earnestly seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit according to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look at Luke 24:49, Acts 1, verse 4 and 8. The initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. And look at some of the references in your book of Acts, and you'll see that this was the initial evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues. A lot of people wonder, you know, have I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You know, did I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, the initial evidence will tip you off, because that's when the Holy Spirit will take over and you'll get a language from God and you'll start speaking in other tongues, just like they did on the day of Pentecost and like you'll find in those other two references in Acts chapter 8 and chapter 10. This experience is distinct from and subsequent to the experience of the new birth. Number one, you're born again. Number two, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Two separate experiences. Go to some of the things and the teaching of this, and you will find some great strengths in here just to give you that this morning to kind of whet your appetite. And so we need to address theologically before we will ever enter into it experientially. This is information for you to understand this is what God wants. So when I know what God wants, then I can enter in. When I hear and I read the Word of God and I know what He desires for us, then I can enter in. Amen? You know, Moses was going through the routine of his day, and I love Moses. I'm reading in the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is not boring. You know, a lot of people think it is, and the only place that I really go fast is in the book of Numbers. I sometimes fast, you know, just kind of fast read, because they're just tribe, this one, you know, and beget this one, beget that one. But I go through them fast. But if you get past all that, you get into the good, deep stuff anyway. That's there. Amen. But if you go back to this situation with Moses, and I love this, because this has such an impact on this man, Moses. And it's interesting. Let me just read it for you. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Now, when you go through the Word of God, sometimes we see something that's, hey, that's kind of neat, that's extraordinary, that's unusual, and it's something that rocks your faith or causes you to maybe dig a little deeper into the Word of God. And so Moses was just going along doing his everyday things, and he looked, and here is this bush that's ablaze, it's on fire, but it wasn't burning. In the sense of, you know, when we, have you ever been to a bonfire, like, you know, when you throw the wood in the fire, and after a half an hour, you got to throw more wood in the fire, and the more wood in the fire to keep the fire going. Well, this might have been going on for a while, and he looked and said, the flame is the same height, yet the wood isn't falling off or crick, you know, getting all the sounds of the crackling of the wood and all this. This fire was different. It was different. The Bible said it was not consumed. Interesting, but Moses turned aside to look a little bit more closely, like we should be doing with the Word of God, and probably any of us should turn aside to see, because this is not natural. This is spiritual. This bush that's burning but not burning in the sense of being consumed, it's not natural. This is a spiritual invitation to Moses. But here's the thing. When God saw that Moses turned aside from the routine of his day, it was at that moment that God began to speak to Moses. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God's looking to see if anybody here would like to turn aside and look. Because at that moment, God called to him from the midst of the fire. As I looked at that, I said, God, we need to get out of our routine of the day and all the busyness of our life. We need to turn aside. We need to get into the giftings of the Holy Spirit. We need to get into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've got to turn aside. You know, if you really want to find the fire, you've got to turn aside. Amen? There's something going on spiritually around us. I really believe that. And we cannot, as I said, walk in the flesh or think in the flesh or try to reason all these. I mean, if Moses had looked at this burning bush and tried to, hey, something going on here. He's trying to calculate in his mind and his heart. But God wants him to get into a different realm and just to believe what God is going to do in his life and our lives. We need to turn aside, turn close to this portion of Scripture and hear what God is saying to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what he's going to do with us, what he's going to take us into, what he's going to show us through all these things. Because I really believe, as we heard on Friday night, that there's a bonfire burning and there's a fire right there. And it's up to us if you want to get close to the fire, if you want to turn aside and find the fire. If you want to get close into that very place where God is burning, then you just believe God's word. Amen? Need to turn aside. See, Paul saw and addressed this, and he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. He addressed all kinds of ignorance of the gifts in all kinds of areas, especially in this 12th chapter. And basically, he was seeing ignorance as an enemy of the growth of the church. That's what it will hinder us. Our ignorance, our fear, our bashfulness, our shy ways, everything about us, it will hinder the work of God in and through our lives. And so he wanted to eliminate those things and he wanted to deal with them. That's why he wrote these letters. And Paul saw such a power in the gifts of the building up of the church. And that's what these gifts are for, is for the building of the church and for reaching out to the lost. That's what the baptism is for, to make witnesses of people all around and to go out into all the world and to find people and to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, as you look at these gifts of the Holy Spirit, the church needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the church needs the giftings of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Did you lose an hour of sleep last night? You seem a little docile. Paul, I really believe, and why chapter 12, 13, and 14, I believe that he saw the gifts as so important, so detrimental to the church to have, to exercise, to move, be moving in the Holy Spirit. He saw that as, this is how the church is going to get strong. This is how the church is going to grow, moving in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, talking in the Spirit, moving into the fruit of the Spirit, moving into the realm of the gifts of the Spirit. This is what's going to cause life in the church. I really believe that when he saw that. You see, he knew that Jesus was the foundation. You go back to the first part of 1 Corinthians. He said, this is the foundation that we have in Jesus Christ. He's the bedrock. He's the church. He's the builder. He's the one that started all this. But we are in partnership with the Holy Spirit to build upon that foundation. Amen? So as I look at this, could it be that there were problems in the church in Corinth about the gifts as they... Is there maybe problems in the church today about the gifts? Is it all due to really a lack of knowledge of what it's all about? See, knowledge has got to be an important part of our Christianity. Knowledge. You glean, you gain, you strengthen your heart and your life. You come to Bible studies, you read the Word of God, you have your devotionals, you get into that. And knowledge is an important part of our Christianity. Amen? Stay away from the Bible, you're staying away from God. You get into the Bible, you're getting closer to God. You're hearing Him. You know, Proverbs chapter 24, verse 4 and 5 says, by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I like that. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. I like what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Interesting. Could we say that a big dilemma in the church could actually be a lack of knowledge of what we are, who we are? No wonder Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Or Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's how we grow. Without knowledge, we will find ourselves in a lot of trouble. You won't have the knowledge of the Word of God. How do you deal with troubles in your life? Every time I get into a position in life, I hear the Word of God speaking to me. Every time I find myself in a situation, I just sense the Word of God rising up in my heart because I gained it in a devotional time. I read it last week or something hit me last week over the Word of God and it just comes crashing back in. See, I believe that Paul fought against the ignorance of knowledge. The Bible tells us that he prayed and he wrote and he taught and he said these things in his letters. And if you were to go to some of the prayers of Paul, you would notice that many, many times he would mention knowledge somewhere in it. And if go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Can you get the feeling? This is what he wants to get into the church, is open your eyes, get into the Word, understand what God wants to do with us. He's trying to show us things, and he's taking us into the Spirit. Just open up and get to that place in your life. Same with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Or in Colossians chapter 1, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And I love what Jesus said, John chapter 17. How many know that that whole chapter is Jesus praying to the Father? John chapter 17. And I have it in the New English Translation. And this is the way, in verse 3, this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one who sent you to earth. That's the prayer of Jesus. Knowing God through experience is far different than knowing about God from a theology textbook. I saw this in one of my books that I've read. R.L. Brandt, he was a district superintendent in one of the areas in the States. I can't recall which one he was in. But he wrote a book entitled Charismatics, Are We Missing Something? And it's a really interesting book. And if you ever get a chance to get it, it would be a real good book for you to get into. But he portrayed it this way, that we get knowledge, and through knowledge, we all of a sudden accumulate this faith. And then as that faith raises up, we will desire more experiences in God, because the faith inside of us, I want that. I want to be baptized. I want the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It comes into the experiential realm. And then once you get those, did you know that a lot of people who get involved in the church are the ones who have gone through all those three steps first? And I say, Pastor, how about this? This would be a good ministry. Could I be involved in that? Could I do this? Could I try that and everything else? Because they've gone through all those things. Take, for example, what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. He said, yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, that I may gain Christ. Then he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. You know, can you see that every time you look at Paul, every time you look at somebody who's Spirit-filled, you can almost look at that graph and see how they've gone through all those experiences and come to where they are today. So first, we need knowledge to come alive in faith. Amen? And faith, in turn, determines what and how many experiences you will have in God. It's the faith that will determine how many experiences you want in God. You can come in church and say, oh, that's nice, Pastor. That's kind of cool. Then walk out and never have experienced. I want to come to church and say, God, here I am. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I want you. I've got faith. And if I don't have the faith, give me the faith to believe, Lord Jesus. You know, We need faith to believe for miracles. We need faith to believe for healings. You know, we need that faith. You know, we can go through all the motions. We go, oh, let's pray for a healing. Yeah, pray, 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 and then come out of it and never believe. Have you ever done that, prayed and not believed? I have. We get into that at times, don't we? That we just do the stuff that we do. I want to pray like I'm believing this is going to change this circumstance. That's the way we have to be. You know, these gifts, as you look at them, are not in any kind of order in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, or Paul is listing them as the best at first and then works his way along to get to the lesser gifts. But I always believe that God has laid out a sequence of anything in Scripture. God has a plan. You know, He's a pretty smart God. You know, and every time I look at the Scriptures, you know, I probably would have done it differently if I did this, God, but God says, hey, my ways are higher than your ways. So as I look at Scripture, God's got everything done in detail the way He wanted to do them. Just like when we were looking at the Beatitudes, remember, in Matthew chapter 5, there seemed to be a sequence when we went through the Beatitudes of how it all took place and where it got us to be. Because as you go through the Beatitudes, you kind of end up at the place where the persecution, because if you don't have all the other stuff in the Beatitudes, when you get to persecution, you'll probably fall flat on your face. When somebody persecutes you and reviles you and says all manner of evil things against you, and if you don't have the peace and you don't have the spirit and you don't have the mourning and you don't have the joy and all those things, then what's going to happen when you face the trials? And so as you go through the Beatitudes, there was a sequence to them to get us to a place where we needed to be. And today with the loss of 1 hour of sleep, I don't know how you feel, I just want to touch on the gift of the word of wisdom to get us ready for what God has in store for us in this gift. And we're going to get to that in 2 weeks. Pierre's going to speak next week. We are going to go away on a vacation. Betty and I haven't had a break since last summer, so we're going to take the advantage of no school buses happening, and we're just going to relax. I'm going to go down and see my brother next week, who I haven't seen for a long time. Remember the one that got saved with Parkinson's? My oldest brother said he's not doing very well, and I thought I would go down and see my brother and do that. So pray for him and pray for us, so we'll just have a good week off of saturation, and I'm sure that as Pierre speaks on next Sunday, you are going to be so blessed. And by the way, Pierre is going to be speaking on Good Friday this year. I'm looking forward to that. Pastor Steve, when I texted him and said that Pierre, by the Holy Spirit, said yes. He is, yay, I'm glad of Holy Spirit, just like you came to Long Sioux by the Holy Spirit. God's doing some great things. Amen. So, like knowledge and faith and experience, in ministry, these are all very, very important things. I cannot say it enough in times that we are not talking about knowledge of the world. You know, as I was thinking about knowledge and wisdom and all these things, you can look at a huge bridge, and it took all kinds of wisdom to build that bridge. Somebody had the know-how how to build a bridge across a ravine, across a river, and to make that bridge last for years and years and years. Every time I go down to Toronto and see that CN Tower, and I thought, man, if I ever built that thing would have been down in 2 days. But somebody had the knowledge and the wisdom and the wherewithal and the experiences and everything else to be able to build all those things. And the architecture of our world shows all kinds of man's wisdom and all that. But go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul will address man's wisdom when it comes to God's wisdom, the foolishness of the world. So let's go back to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. If you would do that for just a moment as I wind down here today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. If you're in your Bible, just to read that with me. Because this is spiritual. I believe this whole letter that Paul wrote to the church of Corinth was something of a great magnitude. There's all kinds of things that are happening all through this letter. But I just want to go back for a moment in conclusion to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 17. He said this, Paul, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." You understand where he's coming from? Not talking about the wisdom of this world. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. In other words, wisdom will not get you in. Wisdom did not know God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing, and things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 says, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Let me say that again, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Chapter 2, verse 13, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You understand where we're seeing this? It's not of the flesh. It's not of the natural. This is of the Spirit. When you come to Christ, when you're born again, it's spiritual. When you come into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's spiritual. Then if you go over to chapter 3, verse 18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. Hallelujah. If you were to go through 1 Corinthians, you would find out that Paul says this word wise a lot of times. He uses the word wisdom several times. Go through, if you have a Strong's Concordance, go through and add them all up. How many times he talks about wisdom, wise, and find out where he's coming from. Because this is where he's going into 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because he said this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That there's a word of wisdom that will come in, that will impregnate the church and take the church into a deeper realm. We need a word of wisdom today. We need that very place where God wants to do some great things. Could we, in conclusion, I see John's gone somewhere. That's okay. We can sing this a cappella. Anybody know what a cappella means? That's okay. We'll sing it. Just stand with me this morning. Think about everything we've spoken this morning. Think about right from the very start of this service, from the very first song that we heard and we sung. Think about every word that we've said this morning. And as we think about this, because you know, if you're in the flesh right now, you will not receive. But if you're willing, God is willing. If you're willing, God is ready to take us to a different level, a deeper level. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Now you were just saying that like you're saying, oh, I remember that song. Now sing it like you mean it, okay? Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Now, I want to let you know that many churches that are not charismatic or Pentecostal sing this song, this chorus, but they do not sing it the same way we do. Everything that this book that you're open to reflects on how you receive a song, how you receive anything that comes your way. If you are not open to the Holy Spirit, when you read the Word of God, you won't receive the blessings of the Holy Spirit in that depth. When you come to a song like this, you could be like one of the 10 spies and know all the negative stuff and everything else. And when you sing a song, oh, it's a nice song and all that. But if you're like Joshua and Caleb, when you sing a song like this, we are able. God said, we can open it up. We can go there. So be a Joshua and a Caleb this morning and sing it a couple more times. Would you do that? Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and your power. Come in thine own gentle way. Come, Holy Spirit, I need thee. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in thy strength and thy power. Come in thine own gentle way. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement of the word. Thank you for the strength of the word. Thank you for direction from the word. Thank you for the power of the word. Thank you for the resilience of the word. Thank you, Lord, that the word has been tried over the years, the centuries, and it still comes up shining every time. Thank you, Lord God, for this word. Thank you, Lord, that the knowledge we gain from the word is powerful. God, I ask that that word would start to begin to increase our faith. Let the faith arise in us as we read the Word of God, as we see the things that you've got written in the Word of God, as we even specifically see the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let the faith rise up inside of us, Lord, that we would then in turn be able to experience what you have through the knowledge of your Word and through that faith we have by encouraging us to experience it. So, Lord, I pray this morning that we've heard from you. I pray, Lord, that as we go from this place, Lord, that we would be strengthened by your word and by the touch of the Holy Spirit, that God, we want to get more. We're hungry. Set a fire down in our soul, Lord. Set a fire down in our soul, Lord, that we can't control, that we can't contain, Lord. Set it in our hearts, Lord God, that we can walk for you, Lord, and people will see that fire in us, and they will even turn aside to find out what's going on. Thank you, God. Bless us as we go. Lord, give us a good week, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you.